We present What O Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. Starring Michael Horton as Jeeves and Richard Briers as Bertie Wooster, with this week's guest, Andrew Cruikshank, as Sir Roderick Glossop. Honoria Glossop.
I hadn't heard from my Aunt Agatha for some time, so it was a nasty jar to receive a letter one morning informing me that I was to meet her at Waterloo that day at 12:45 sharp in order to ferry her across London. A pretty frightful ordeal, believe me. So I got to Waterloo rather early, and feeling in need of a pre-aunt bracer, tottered into the bar. I had just ordered a quick one and was feeling about as cheerio as was possible under the circs, when a muffled voice hailed me from the northeast, and turning round, I saw young Bingo Little, propped up in a corner, wrapping himself round a sizable hunk of bread and cheese.
Bingo! Hello, hello, hello. What are you doing here? I haven't seen you for ages.
No. No. No, Bertie. Quite. I'm living out in the country at the moment, actually. Catching a train back at 1:30.
I thought you loathed the country. Where are you?
Down in Hampshire, at a place called Ditteridge.
No, really? I know some people who've got a house there, the Glossops. You know, Sir Roderick Glossop, the loony doctor and his gang. Have you met them?
That's where I'm staying. I'm tutoring Oswald, the Glossop kid.
What? Tutoring? You?
I've got a degree, Bertie.
Of sorts. Well, I haven't met the Glossop kid.
Don't.
The only one of the Glossops I really know is the girl.
Bertie.
Bingo. You all right? What's the matter? You swallowed a bit of cheese the wrong way round. Bingo.
Oh, Bertie.
Bingo. Oh, dash it all. No. Oh, no. It's not possible. I know you're always falling in love with someone, but surely even you couldn't fall in love with a Glossop scourge? She's nothing more or less than a pot of poison.
Bertie, I worship that girl. I worship the very ground she treads on.
But she's got the physique of a middleweight catch-as-can wrestler.
She's perfect, Bertie. So perfect, I can't drum up the nerve to tell her of my love. But we walk together in the garden most evenings, and it sometimes seems to me that there's a look in her eyes.
I know that look. Like a sergeant major.
Nothing of the kind. Like a tender goddess.
She strikes you as a tender goddess?
She does.
God bless you.
She walks in beauty like the night of cloudless times and starry skies, and all that's best and dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes. Another bit of bread and cheese, please.
Yes, sir. One moment. The train approaching platform 2 is the 12:45 boat train from Southampton. 12:45.
Bingo. That's Aunt Agatha's train. Look, I must pop off now.
How is your ghastly aunt these days, Bertie?
I'm still chewing broken bottles and killing rats with her teeth. That's the woman. I'll tell you something else, Bingo. She's going through a phase of trying to marry me off.
No.
Absolutely. It's too frightful to contemplate. What? Oh, gosh. Oh, there she is. Bingo. To the pit, Bingo.
Cheerio.
Aunt Agatha!
Bertie! Always late. Thank you, my man. That's for you.
Come, ma'am.
Porter! Coming, sir!
Nice day, Aunt Agatha.
That may well be, Bertie. Come along, we don't have much time. Those are my cases.
What? All of them?
Now, Bertie, I want to have a serious talk with you.
Well, what about?
I've been thinking again about how necessary it is that you should get married. I've found the very wife for you.
Stop! Aunt Agatha, stop! Who is it?
Sir Roderick Glossop's daughter, Honoria.
No! No!
Don't be silly, Bertie. She's just the wife for you.
Yes, but look here.
She'll mould you.
I don't want to be moulded.
Bertie, I hope you're not going to be troublesome.
But I mean,
Lady Glossop has very kindly invited you to Ditteridge Hall for a few days. I told her you'd be delighted to come down tomorrow.
But Jeeves is going on his annual holiday this afternoon. I can't go without him.
Jeeves?
My man, you know.
Oh, I don't like him. And I fail to see what he has to do with the matter we're discussing, Bertie. He'll no doubt provide a replacement valet while he's away.
Well, yes, but I...
Now, is this your automobile? The suitcase is in the back, if you please, Bertie, and then straight to King's Cross.
Oh, ow!
And please be more careful with my cases, Bertie. Please, be more careful. Bertie!
Ow!
I got back to the flat about an hour later, ready to weep on Jeeves's shoulder. But as I latchkeyed self and despondency through the front door...
And the master himself, Mr. Jeeves, what's he like to work for?
I was coming to that, Foster. You will find Mr. Wooster a delightful employer. He is an exceedingly pleasant and amiable young gentleman, but not intelligent. By no means intelligent. Mentally, he is negligible. Quite negligible.
Well, I'm dashed. I mean to say...
Jeeves? Sir? Oh, this is Foster, sir, who I've arranged will look after you in my absence.
Yes, very nice. Yes, hello.
Good afternoon, sir.
Jeeves, I'd like a word, if I may. In here.
Sir?
Now, look here, Jeeves. Dash it. Jeeves, but the thing is, Jeeves, dash it.
Sir?
Oh, nothing, Jeeves. You may go.
Very good, sir.
As it happens, Jeeves, I'm in a bit of a difficulty at the moment.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Yes. Yes, quite a bad hole. In fact, you might say on the brink of a precipice and faced by an awful doom.
If I could be of any assistance, sir?
Oh, no. Oh, no, Jeeves, no. Thanks very much, no. I won't trouble you. I no doubt I can dig up some brainy scheme to get myself out of it.
Very good, sir.
Yes, it's a tight corner, Jeeves, tight, of the tightest. But I'm sure I'll be able to get out of it by myself. I'm not as big a fool as some people seem to think, Jeeves.
I'm very pleased to hear it, sir. Will there be anything further, sir?
No. No, thank you, Jeeves. No, you buzz off and have a good holiday.
Thank you very much, sir.
Goodbye, Jeeves. Don't worry about me.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, Jeeves. But I must say I'd have welcomed a bit more curiosity from the man. I'll show him. Rather decent, the grounds of Ditteridge. A couple of terraces, a bit of lawn with a cedar on it, a segment of shrubbery, and finally, a small but goodish lake with a stone bridge running across it. I spotted young Bingo leaning against the bridge, smoking a cigarette, and sitting on the stonework, fishing, was a species of kid I took to be Oswald, the plague spot.
Bertie, old man, what the devil are you doing here?
Bingo! How are I? Just busy, don't you know?
Well, you might have told a pal.
Sorry.
Good to see you, though, Bertie. I say, this is Oswald.
Oh. Oh, what could be sweeter? And how is Oswald?
Oh, all right.
It's a nice place you have here.
Oh, all right.
Having a good time fishing?
Oh, all right.
Quite.
Bertie, shall we go for a little toddle?
A sound idea. I say, Bingo. Doesn't jolly old Oswald's incessant flow of prattle make your head ache sometimes?
Mm. It's a hard job, Bertie.
Tutoring him?
Loving him.
Do you love him? I shouldn't have thought it could be done.
I try to, Bertie. I try to. For her sake. She's coming back this afternoon, Bertie. She's coming. My love. My own...
Yes, yes, quite. Yes, yes. Look, touching on young Oswald once more. How do you stick it? That supercilious manner of his. I mean, there he is, sitting on that bally bridge, wiggling his left ear in that peevish manner. How can you resist shoving him in?
Shoving him in?
Yes, into that beastly grubby lake. It seems to me distinctly the thing to do. It would wake him up a bit and make him take an interest in things.
Hmm. Your proposition attracts me, Bertie, but I'm afraid it can't be done. You see, she would never forgive me. She's devoted to the little brute.
Great Scott, Bingo, I've got it!
Bertie, what?
Bingo, what would Jeeves have done?
When?
I mean, what would he have advised in a case like yours? I mean, you wanted to make a hit with Honoria Glossop and all that. Why, take it from me, laddie, he would have shoved you behind that clump of bushes over there. He would have got me to lure Honoria onto the bridge, and then, at the proper time, he would have told me to give the kid a pretty hefty jab in the small of the back so as to shoot him into the water. And then you would have dived in and hauled him out. The big rescue!
You didn't think of that by yourself, Bertie?
Yes. Jeeves isn't the only fellow with ideas, whatever he thinks.
But it's absolutely wonderful, Bertie. The only objection I can see is that it'd be so dashed awkward for you. I mean, suppose Oswald turned round and said you'd shoved him in. Well, that'd make you frightfully unpopular with her.
I don't mind risking that, Bingo.
Bertie, This is noble.
No, no. Oh, look. I think this must be her car coming now.
Oh, my love. My Honoria.
Yeah, quite. Yes, but now look, quick. Nip down to those bushes by the lake. I'll bring her down instanter and try to pave the way a bit.
Bertie.
Go on.
Right here.
If only Jeeves could see me in action now. Mentally negligible indeed. Huh. Good afternoon, Honoria.
Oh, Mr. Wooster, what a pleasant surprise. How sweet of you to be waiting for me. Daphne, dear, this is Bertie Wooster. Mr. Wooster, this is my great friend, Daphne Braithwaite.
Oh, hello and all that.
How do you do, Mr. Wooster?
I say, Honoria, I know you've only just arrived and all that sort of rot, but I was wondering if you'd like to come for a little stroll. I've something rather particular to say to you.
Oh, Mr. Wooster, I'd be delighted. Daphne, dear, would you mind if I just...
Of course not, Honoria. I'll go for a short walk myself. Right over there. Bye.
I thought we might stagger down towards the lake.
Of course. You're suddenly very quiet, Mr. Wooster. You said you had something important to say to me.
Did I? Oh, yes. Well, no. It may sound rummy and all that, but there's somebody who's frightfully in love with you and so forth. A friend of mine, you know.
Oh, a friend of yours.
Yes. Yes, it is. He's not a bad chap, you know, in his way. He's rather an ass, perhaps, but well-meaning. Well, that's the position. You might just bear it in mind, what?
How funny you are.
Honoria, I wish the dickens you wouldn't make that row, scaring all the fish away.
I'm sorry, Oswald, dear. I do wish Oswald wouldn't sit on the bridge like that. I'm sure it isn't safe, Mr. Wooster. He might easily fall in.
Yes, he might. I'll go and tell him.
Oh, thank you.
Ah, hello, Oswald, little chap. Fishing?
Take your beastly hand off my shoulder. Here, look out.
Help. 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 Bingo. Bingo. Oh, dash it all. Help!
Mr. Wooster!
Oh, gosh, where's young Bingo gone? Oh, dash it all. All right. I'm coming! All right, Oswald. Don't panic. Don't panic. Stay right where you are. Where the devil are you? Oswald! Oh, dash it all. Wait for me. Wait! Oh, what a bally washout!
Oh, Bertie, you are funny. Here, swim to the shore and I'll give you a hand out.
Where's Oswald?
Oh, he's halfway back to the house. He is the Australian crawl champion of his school.
He would be.
I say, Bertie, you are wet.
Yes, I'm wet.
Oh, you are funny, Bertie. First proposing to me in that extraordinary roundabout manner.
What?
And then pushing poor Oswald into the lake so as to impress me by saving him.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Now, you run straight up to the house and change your wet clothes or you'll catch cold.
But, Honoria...
Go on, Bertie. For me.
Ooh, righto.
Hey, Bertie.
Bingo.
Bertie, wonderful things happened.
You blatter! Come here. You were scheduled to emerge from those bally bushes, Bingo, and you didn't emerge to the slightest extent, whatever.
Oh, the bushes. Oh, I didn't have time to tell you about that, Bertie, but it's all off. I say, you are wet.
What's all off?
Bertie, do you know, I was actually starting to hide in those bushes when the most extraordinary thing happened. Walking across the lawn, I saw the most radiant, the most beautiful girl in the world. She's Miss Braithwaite, Bertie. Daphne Braithwaite. Bertie, do you believe in love at first sight? You do, don't you, old man?
Bingo!
Directly our eyes met, I realized that what I'd imagined to be my love for Honoria had been a mere passing whim. Oh, Daphne's so wonderful, Bertie. So sympathetic, like a tender goddess.
You blighter!
Ask anyone at the Drones, and they will tell you that Bertram Wooster is a pretty difficult fellow to get down. But there is one surefire way of doing it, I have discovered, and that is to get him engaged to a girl with a brain like Einstein's, a voice like a lion tamer's, and a laugh like a squadron of cavalry charging over a tin bridge. By the time Jeeves returned from his fortnight's shrimping, I was a shadow. I give you my solemn word, a bally shadow of the gay young boulevardier of yesteryear. Jeeves?
Sir?
Jeeves, I've just about reached the death where is thy jolly old sting stage. Oh!
Excuse me one moment, sir. I fancy I heard the telephone.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes, madam. Yes, madam. This is Gregson, sir.
Oh, no. Aunt Agatha?
Bertie, now listen carefully. Dear Honoria doesn't know it, but I regret to say a little difficulty has arisen about your marriage.
By Jove, not really.
Oh, it's nothing at all, of course. It's only a little exasperating. The fact is, her father, Sir Roderick, is being a little troublesome.
Oh, well, thinks I'm not a good bet, eh? Wants to scratch the fixture. Well, perhaps he's right.
Pray don't be so absurd, Bertie. It's nothing so serious as that. But the nature of Sir Roderick's profession, unfortunately, makes him over-cautious. I suppose a nerve specialist with his extensive practice can hardly help taking a rather warped view of humanity.
You mean he thinks I'm a loony and he doesn't want a loony son-in-law?
He appears to have got hold of some extraordinary story about your having pushed Oswald into the lake down at Ditteridge.
Oh.
Sir Roderick wants to have a quiet talk with you quite alone.
On a couch?
He'll lunch with you at your flat tomorrow at 1:30.
What?
And remember, Bertie, that Sir Roderick drinks no wine, strongly disapproves of smoking, and can only eat the simplest food owing to an impaired digestion. And don't offer him coffee, for he considers it to be the root of half the nerve trouble in the world.
I should think a dog biscuit and a glass of water would about meet the case, what?
Bertie!
Oh, I merely persiflage.
Now, that is precisely the sort of idiotic remark that would be calculated to arouse Sir Roderick's worst suspicions. Do please try to refrain from any misguided flippancy when you're with him. He's a very serious-minded man.
Right-ho, Aunt Agatha.
If anything goes wrong, Bertie, I shall never forgive you.
Right-ho. Tinkety-tonk, Aunt Agatha.
Goodbye, Bertie.
Early next morning, Honoria press-ganged me into caddying for her on a shopping tour down Regent Street, and consequently it was gone 1:30 when I bounded back into the flat, feeling more or less all of a twitter. Jeeves shimmied in.
Sir Roderick has not yet arrived, sir.
Oh, good egg. I thought I'd find him smashing up the furniture.
Your young cousins, Mr. Claude and Mr. Eustace, called earlier, sir, and were disappointed to find you out.
What? Those two blisters?
Precisely, sir. They were accompanied by the Lord Rainsby, sir, whom they addressed rather gratuitously, in my opinion, as Dogface.
But they're meant to be up at Oxford.
They described their visit to London as strictly unofficial, sir.
That sounds ominous. Oh, Sir Roderick, Jeeves, stand by. We're off.
Very good, sir.
Ah, what ho. good afternoon, Sir Roderick.
Good morning, Mr. Wisser. Afraid I'm a little leaked, sir. I was detained at my club by Lord Alistair Hungerford, the Duke of Rainferland's son. His Grace, he informed me, had exhibited a renewal of the symptoms which have been causing the family so much concern.
Ah, Duke's on his rocker, what?
The expression which you use is not precisely the one I should have employed myself with reference to the head of perhaps the noblest family in England. But there is no doubt that cerebral excitement does exist in no small degree. A profession like mine is a great strain, Mr. Wooster. Great strain.
Ah, must be. Shall we sit down?
Thank you. Sometimes, Mr. Wooster, I'm appalled at what I see around me.
Ah.
Do you keep a cat?
Eh? What? Cat? No, no cat.
I was conscious of a distinct impression that I heard a cat mewing.
Oh, probably a taxi or something in the street, what?
I fear I do not follow you.
Well, I would say taxis. Squawk, you know. Rather like cats in a sort of way.
Not observe the resemblance?
No.
Have some lemon squash.
Thank you. Half a glassful, if I may.
Oh.
I have a particular dislike of cats. But I was saying... Yes. Sometimes it seems to me, Mr. Whistle, the whole world is mentally unbalanced. This very morning, for example, a most distressing occurrence took place as I was driving from my house to my club. My hat was snatched abruptly from my head. And as I looked back, I perceived it being waved in a kind of feverish triumph from the interior of a taxi cab.
Must have been meant as a sort of practical joke, what?
I trust I am not deficient in appreciation of the humorous, but I confess I am at a loss to detect anything akin to pleasantry in the outrage.
Oh.
Mr. Wooster, there is a cat close at hand. It is not in the street. The mewing appears to come from the adjoining room.
You're right, Dashit. I'll get my man.
You rang, sir?
Jeeves, cats. What about it? Are there any cats in the flat?
Only the three in your bedroom, sir.
There you are. What?
Cats in his bedroom?
What do you mean, only the three in my bedroom?
The black one, the tabby, and the small lemon-coloured animal, sir?
What on earth? I mean, what's happening in there?
The noise is unendurable. I cannot hear myself speaking.
I fancy, sir, that the animals may have become somewhat exhilarated as the result of having discovered the fish under Mr. Wooster's bed.
Fish? Did I hear you rightly?
Yes, sir.
But, geez, how the dickens... I say, Sir Roderick, you're not going?
Mr. Wooster, I am going. I prefer to spend my leisure time in less eccentric company.
Oh, but I say, no, here, I must come with you. I'm sure the whole business can be explained. Jeeves, my hat.
Sir.
Thank you, Jeeves. Good heavens. This isn't my hat.
No, Mr. Wooster, it is my hat. The hat which was stolen from me this morning as I drove in my car.
But, thank you.
I should be glad, my man, if you would accompany me a few yards down the street. I wish to ask you some questions.
Very good, sir.
Well, where are all these bally cats? Good Lord, no, get up, boy. Get down. Buzz off.
Oh, I say, look here. Where are those my cats?
Who the devil are you?
Rainsby, don't you know? I say, are you Bertie Wooster and so forth? I'm a pal of your cousins, Claude and Eustace.
Hello.
Where are those my cats that shot past just now?
They came out of my bedroom.
Then they were my cats. Oh, dash it.
Did you put cats in my bedroom?
Your man, what's his name, did. He rather decently said I could keep them there till the train went. I just come to fetch them. And now they've gone. Dash it all. Oh, well, can't be helped, I suppose. I'll take the hat and the fish anyway.
Did you put that bally fish in there too?
No, that was Eustace's. The hat was Claude's.
What? You couldn't explain all this, could you?
Why, don't you know all about it? I say, the whole thing must seem a bit rummy to you, then.
Rummy is the word.
But it was for the Seekers, you know.
Seekers?
Rather a blood club, don't you know, up at Oxford, which your cousins and I are rather keen to get into. You have to pinch something, you know, to get elected. It's rather jolly. Well, we wanted to make a sort of special effort and do the thing in style, so we came up to London. And we had the most amazing luck right from the start. Your cousin Claude managed to collect quite a decent top hat out of a passing car, and Eustace got away with a really goodish salmon or something from Harrods. Oh, could I take the fish and the hat, do you think?
The bally cats ate the fish, and the fellow you pinched the hat from happened to be the man who was lunching here. He took it away with him.
Oh, I say. No cats, no fish, no hat. I do call that hard. We've had all our trouble for nothing. And on top of that... Oh, I say, I hate to ask you, but you couldn't lend me a tenner, could you?
What the devil for?
Well, the fact is, Claude and Eustace are more or less languishing in Vine Street police station till I pop round and bail them out. They've been arrested.
What?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid we had rather a festive lunch and they got a bit above themselves and tried to pinch a motor lorry. Silly, of course, but... Oh, thanks. That's fearfully good of you. It would have been too bad to leave them there, what? They're both such frightfully good fellows. Everybody likes them up at the varsity. They're fearfully popular.
I bet they are. Goodbye.
Jeeves?
Sir?
I want a word with you.
Sir?
Well, Jeeves...
Sir Roderick asked me a number of questions, sir, respecting your habits and mode of life, to which I replied guardedly.
I don't care about that. What I want to know is why you didn't explain the whole thing to him right at the start. A word from you would have put everything clear.
Yes, sir.
Well, now he's gone off thinking me a loony.
I should not be surprised from his conversation with me, sir, if some such idea had not entered his head.
Then dash it, Jeeves! Oh.
No, madam, Mr. Wooster is not in. No, madam, I do not know when he will return. No, madam, he left no message. Yes, madam, I will inform him. Your aunt, Mrs. Gregson, sir.
What? Does she know? Already?
I gather Sir Roderick has been speaking to her on the telephone, sir, and...
By golly! No wedding bells for me, what?
Mrs. Gregson did not actually confide in me, sir, but I fancy that some such thing may have occurred. She seemed decidedly agitated, sir.
Jeeves, I'm free. I'm free. I'm not engaged to an Horia Glossop.
No, sir.
I'm free, Jeeves. By Jove, I believe you worked the whole thing.
Sir?
You had the jolly old situation in hand right from the start, didn't you? The cats and the fish and whatnot.
Well, sir, though it may be a liberty to say so, I confess that I entertained hopes that something might occur to prevent the match between yourself and the young lady. I doubt if she was entirely suitable to you, sir. Mrs. Gregson wishes you to contact her immediately, sir.
Oh, she does, eh? Well, what do you advise, Jeeves?
I think a trip abroad might prove enjoyable, sir.
She'd come after me.
Not if you went far enough afield, sir. There are excellent boats leaving every Wednesday and Saturday for New York.
Jeeves, you're right as always. Book a ticket.
I already have, sir.
Oh, thank you, Jeeves.
In that episode of Watto Jeeves, the parts were played as follows. Jeeves, Michael Horden, Bertie, Richard Brars. Sir Roderick Glossop, Andrew Cruikshank, Bingo Little, Jonathan Cecil. Aunt Agatha, Joan Sanderson, Lord Rainsby, James Villiers. Honoria Glossop, Miriam Margulies, Oswald Glossop and Daphne Braithwaite, Denise Breyer. Other parts were played by Brian Haynes. Honoria Glossop was adapted for radio by Chris Miller from the book The Inimitable Jeeves by P.G. Woodhouse. Watto Jeeves was produced by David Hatch.